Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your late night live host, Pastor Al Davis, and here with you tonight till midnight right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We can get you on the air. The phone lines are open right now. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again that we can come on the air tonight. We have the freedom to do this, to be on the air. And I just pray that we be a blessing and encouragement to somebody tonight. Father, just thank you so much for the precious gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Help us to lift up and glorify Christ to a lost and dying world. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, happy Father's Day to all of the fathers out there listening tonight. Today being Father's Day, I was thinking of something, a verse that we put in our bulletin today for our services at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor. I try to put a Bible verse in generally in the bulletin, and I use the verse in First Kings chapter 8, in First Kings chapter 8, and verse number 57 and 58, the Bible says this: "The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers." Now, that is a prayer that Solomon made. Actually, that was a following his prayer to God. He actually voiced this thought to the people of Israel, and his voice in his prayer was that God would be with them as he was with their fathers. Solomon knew that he could not do the things that he did. He could not have built the temple and dedicated the temple if it weren't for his father David and David's father Jesse and all those before them. And so he recognized the importance of God having been with his fathers and the necessity of God being with him, just as he had been with his father David and those before him. And the other key to that thought there is that if God is with us, not only is he not going to leave us nor forsake us, but there in verse 58, he said that God would incline our hearts unto him and walk in all his, that we would walk in all his ways. And that's what our prayer ought to be as fathers for our children. Now, see, Solomon was praying and making it known that he wanted God to be with him as he was with his father and to lead him to do these things. But fathers ought to be willing, or not, I think more than willing, I think we ought to feel a burden that God would be with our children, and that God would not leave our children nor forsake them, and that God would incline their hearts to him. And just like we have followed God in our life, we want to pass that on to our children. Somebody once said that the gospel is always one generation from becoming extinct, and there's truth to that. Nobody inherits salvation. It would be nice if you could, and there's a lot of people who think that you can, but the truth of the matter is nobody inherits salvation. Salvation is a decision that you have to make to personally put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus died for you personally, He might be that he died for your father, and he certainly did. It might be that he died for your mother, and he certainly did. But your father and your mother both have to put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ personally. And likewise, your grandparents, they needed to put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ personally. And your children, same thing. Each one of them needs to put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ personally. And each and every one of us have to put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ personally. And then we understand, we know that when we trust Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit, here in this dispensation of grace, on this side of the cross of Calvary, on this side of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that the Holy Spirit indwells us at the moment of salvation. I hear people talk every once in a while trying to say, oh, after you get saved, you've got to pray and ask God to give you His Spirit. And I really don't know where they get that from, because the Bible plainly says that if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. And so we need to realize that at the very moment of salvation, God, the Holy Spirit, indwells us. And just as Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, he said, starting out the chapter in verse number 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And he goes on to talk about the law and what the law couldn't do. And then he comes down to verse number 8 and 9, he says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Paul said, I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And so we cannot please God through the flesh. You cannot inherit salvation through the flesh. You didn't inherit it from your father. In fact, if you follow the Bible's teaching, you actually inherited your sin nature from your father. I was at the nursing home today in our service there, and I said, now this is one here that we cannot blame our mothers for. The Bible says, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Sin entered into the world not because Eve was tricked into eating the forbidden fruit. Sin entered into the world because Adam chose to eat the forbidden fruit. He was not tricked. He was not deceived. He went into that with his eyes wide open. He knowingly disobeyed God, and because of that, sin passes upon all men and all women and all people, because it comes from our earthly father. Now, that's one of the less desirable things our fathers bequeathed to us, that's why in the flesh you can't please God. But the Bible continues in chapter 8, talking about believers. He says in verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, remember, some people try to say that you gotta pray and ask God to give you His Spirit. This thought that you can get saved and not have the Spirit of God. Well, Paul didn't agree with that, because after he says, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, he said, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Meaning, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, that's the Holy Spirit of God, you do not belong to God. That's as simple as that. The Bible teaches us that at the moment of salvation, we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. He indwells us, and He guides us. He teaches us. And Solomon recognized that back in 1 Kings chapter 8. When he was saying, the Lord God be with us as He was with our fathers, let Him not leave us nor forsake us. And here's what he wants Him to do, that He may incline our hearts unto Him. Now that makes sense. The Holy Spirit can incline our hearts toward God, to walk in all His ways. And the Holy Spirit can give us that desire to walk in God's ways, to keep His commandments. And certainly, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and the Holy Spirit's going to help us know the commandments of God and His statutes and His judgments, which He commanded our fathers. And we're going to want to obey God's commandments, God's statutes, God's judgments. And we'll want to follow those things that God commanded our fathers to do. We're going to want to follow Jesus Christ. We're going to want to follow God's commandments ourselves and live a life that's pleasing to Him. I just want to share that a little bit real quick here this Father's Day. And we understand that as fathers, the most important thing that we can pass down to our children is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And see, here's the thing. If you're a father and you've never put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't pass that down because you don't have anything to pass down without Christ. You know, money is good, but it's only temporary. Property and a house, that's good, but it's only temporary. Things that this world has to offer, when we leave this world, then we're going to leave it all behind. But if you can pass your faith in Jesus Christ, because you personally know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you have an eternal legacy that you can pass down to your children. And like Solomon appreciated the legacy that he had from his father and from his forefathers, we can pass that same spiritual legacy down to our children. And we can have children that'll grow up like Solomon here at the dedication of the temple and say and a desire that God would be with us, with them, and even with their children, and that they would obey his commandments and his statutes and his judgments that he commanded us to keep as well. Well, I hope that's an encouraging thought here on this into Father's Day here, almost the day over, but appreciate you tuning in here tonight. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can join us with your conversation or your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight. And we have Grover calling in tonight, and we're going to go ahead and get hold of his call here. And Grover, welcome to Late Night Live, and he's gone. Sorry. Grover, we missed your call there. And sometimes, you know, the weather has been bad south of here tonight, and, you know, sometimes you get a little problem with the phone lines there. But again, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And let me encourage you, you know, that we can pass down a godly legacy to our children, and that's our responsibility. Unfortunately, as earthly fathers, we don't always live a life that's pleasing to God ourselves. And the legacy that we pass down is the opposite of the spiritual legacy that we ought to be passing down. I've dealt with people in the past that have had trouble accepting Christ, have trouble believing the gospel because their earthly father was not a good witness and testimony to them. And so we might touch on that again, but I think we have Grover back again. And Grover, we'll try this again. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Brother Al, before I wanted to do it, my son's listening to you.
Oh, well, good Grover, evening. Glad to have you with us tonight. Where are you calling from tonight?
I'm calling from Alabama. I'm sitting out in the yard. It's finally cooled off, about 85 right now. But you know what, Brother Al, I just want to tell everybody in Ohio, you know what? There's a lot of souls down here in Alabama. And I really had the opportunity to run into a lot of young people. Got a church that was falling. Had a five-day revival down here. Even the preacher rededicated his life. The first night, they had 21. And then he went up to 40. Third night, 100-something. Saturday, they had 145.
Wow, that's great. Glad to hear the Lord blessing.
Excuse me. And over where my sister lives, it's a big housing thing. I had young people out on the sidewalk at first. I was passing out literature. Next thing, I had to go over into the big lot. And we had about an hour church service, and it was young people crying. See, this is the one thing that people don't understand. Our young people are crying out for somebody to to show them compassion and love for their souls. They're crying out for us. And you know what? I want to thank God that there's people like you, Brother Al, that, really is inspiration to me. And not because I know you. I know you're my brother in Christ. And you know what? I like what you said a while ago. I talked to some Pentecostals last Sunday night, and I told them, I said, do you really believe that once you're saved? And I had a lot of them say, yes, I believe that. But there's people that like the United Pentecostal, charismatic movement. You know, they're teaching the wrong gospel. I know what Paul says, if you preach any other gospel except what Jesus Christ, then your religion's in vain. Are you still there?
Yes, sir. I was just listening.
I'm not going to try to preach tonight because you know what, the good Lord just, remember I told you to pray for me because of my throat?
Mm-hmm.
He not only done that, I had a big thing that was on my neck, and I believe it was a cancerous. Yes, you know what? It's completely gone.
Well, see, we need to trust God, and He'll take care of us as long as He's got a purpose for our life. You know, we shouldn't fear. You know, these sorts of things. In fact, I was mentioning at church tonight, you know, we're going through the gospel or the book of Job.
Yeah, I heard that a while ago. That was very interesting.
Yeah, now this is in the book of Job, and you know, one of the problems that Job's friends had was they thought every time something bad happens to somebody, it's because God was punishing him or punishing you. And I made the point that when we put our faith in Christ, our sins are punished. I mean, they're taken care of. The punishment for our sins was at the cross. And so what God does in the life of a believer, He doesn't punish you. He chastens you when you need chastening in order to get your attention, get you back in the right relationship. But I said also sometimes God allows something in our life to strengthen us, to improve us in some way. And then I said, there's another way. Sometimes He allows these things in our life to put us in a position where we can be a witness and a testimony to other people that we might not have otherwise had the opportunity to speak to. And I've heard stories, and I won't recount them all here tonight, but certainly, you know, you've probably seen things, and listeners probably have heard things where because of breaking down alongside the road or maybe having to take a stay in the hospital or maybe having to go to the doctor's office or something that we would say, why is this happening to me? God puts us in a situation where we have a unique opportunity to minister to somebody. And even though we might not like the situation, it puts us in a place where we can be a witness and a testimony to somebody that otherwise wouldn't have heard. And you know, it's amazing how God can do that sometimes. And
well, now before I go, I got to have a clarification of something.
Yeah.
Okay. The Bible says, blessed are those that are in the first resurrection. I understand this is the one, the believers, right?
Blessed are what?
The believers that accepted Christ, died.
Mm-hmm.
During the resurrection, we all come out of the grave. We understand this point.
Right.
But I've been asked this question here. They says, the meek shall inherit the earth.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that there's not going to be no marriages in the heaven, but it does say that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth.
Right.
Here's what I tell people. Those people that, and if I'm wrong, let me know. Those people that went through the tribulation, the elder says, who is this great one? Jesus says, that's the one that made their robes. They didn't bow down and worship the beast. Now, are those people and the ones that during the thousand-year reigns that died, those are going to be the people that inherit the earth and repopulate it, right?
Well, let me just give you a quick rundown there. Let me check the time here. I think I got time I can run through this here real quick and appreciate that. You bring up a good point. We understand that there's various groups of believers that we can see in the Bible. Certainly there's the Old Testament saints, and you
would that,
can divide
would
those
be,
in.
Would that be the Jews?
Well, Jews and Gentiles alike. In the book of Job, Job is a righteous man. He's a believer, but he wasn't a Jew. He was of the stock of Abraham, descended actually through Abraham's son Ishmael, as well as Isaac's right. Son Esau, both. There's also Nebuchadnezzar, Gentile, in the book of Daniel, and there's others in the Old Testament, Jews, Gentiles, and other types. And anybody that is a redeemed of those Old Testament times, of course, they will be in that first resurrection. All those from the New Testament days that died with faith in Christ, and let me back up just a minute. Nebuchadnezzar and Job and Abraham and all of these, they had faith in the Messiah to come. And so they believed in the Savior to come. We believe in the Savior who came. We're just on the other side of the cross. And they look forward to the cross. We look back at the cross. And so we have our faith in the Savior who was the Lamb of God that was slain, sacrificed to take away our sins. And so all these people that die before the end of the tribulation, because there's going to be people who die in the tribulation, all these people are going to come back, and they're going to be on earth. And the Bible talks in Revelation chapter 19 about a great multitude coming with Jesus on white horses and coming to the earth. But there's going to be some people who survive the tribulation. You know, they're not going to die. People who put their faith in Christ during the tribulation and they avoid the martyrdom by the Antichrist, and they survive the tribulation. Now, they'll enter bodily into the thousand-year reign of Christ, the condition that we are right now. And which means that they'll be like you and I are right now, with a body like we have, with the sin nature. Those that have died and come back in that first resurrection will come back with a heavenly body, a new body, without a sin nature. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather spend a thousand-year millennium without a sin nature, serving God with no sin nature.
I don't want to take all your time there, Brother Al, but I think that I explained it right to all the people.
Right. Yeah, and we're coming up on the break there right now, Grover. And again, I encourage people to pray for you and pray that you have successful, God blesses during revival down there in Alabama. And take care of you folks. And thank you very much for the call there tonight. We're going to be going into a break here just a moment. And let me just touch on something real quick on that thousand-year reign of Christ. The other thing with that, the devil will be bound and cast into the bottomless pit for that period of time. And then at the end of that, he'll be released for a season. He'll try one final attack, one final revolt against God, and it'll be put down. And of course, then after that is when we have the new heaven and the new earth. Maybe in the second half we get into that, or perhaps another topic as calls come in. But you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's toll-free, 888-677-9673. And if you call in during the break, we'll hold you until we get started up on our second half of the program here tonight. But again, that new heaven and that new earth is an exciting time, and that's where we see the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. And that, I believe, is what Jesus referred to in John chapter 14 when he said, "I go to prepare a place for you." And he said, "In my Father's house There are many mansions. I go to a prayer place for you, and I believe that's that place. And I'm looking forward to that day and that new heaven and that new earth. It'll be cleansed. The Bible says the elements will melt with a fervent heat, and it's going to be an exciting thing. God's going to restore the creation, the physical universe, this world, back, I believe, to what it was supposed to be like in the beginning when God originally created it without sin. But there's going to be one big difference. The Bible tells us that there's going to be somewhere in a spiritual realm of some sort, the lake of fire will be evident. And people wonder sometimes, how can we know that something like what happened before doesn't happen again? Well, unlike during the time of Adam and Eve, the lake of fire, the Bible says that those that were cast into it, the smoke of their torment ascends upward forever and ever. And so that will be a testimony, a very graphic testimony of the awfulness of sin and the cost of sin in eternity in the future. Well, stay tuned. We've got another half hour. We'll be with you till midnight here tonight on Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. And we'd love to hear from you with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. The phone line is 888 9673. Of course, we're brought to you tonight by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road. That's State Route 82 in the center of North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday from noon until 5:30 p.m. And if you're looking for anything unusual or collectible items of just about any kind, military coins, stamps, postcards, ceramic pieces, you name it, just about, he's probably got it. And you can call Frank at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton by calling 440-237-4393. That's 440-237-4393. And let him know that you heard about Frank's Antiques in North Royalton right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, the home of the homemade pizza. East Coast Pizza also has calzones, stromboli, sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, and a whole lot more. And they're located at 4889 Turney Road, right across from the high school there in Garfield Heights. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, you can call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's pickup or delivery by calling 216-341-9100. If you mentioned that you heard about East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights right here on Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for $5. Just mention our program, mention me, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for $5 at East Coast Pizza, and right there in Garfield Heights, 4889 Turney Road, across from the high school. Also, if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself and scared by the high franchise fees, call Gus at East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100, and ask Gus how you can get into the pizza business yourself. He'd be glad to help you get started, and for a whole lot less than what you might think. All right, that's East Coast Pizza, and I can endorse them because I just enjoyed some of their pizza as well as some of the Lebanese food that he offers there. Just last Friday after our Friday afternoon program, we're on the air here, of course, every Friday from 1:30 till 2 in the afternoon, and I can heartily recommend the food there. So check out our sponsors there, Frank's Antiques in North Royalton and East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we have Ronald, who has been patiently holding, and we'll get you on the air here tonight. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Evening, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening. Welcome.
A new caller, been listening to you regularly.
Hey, glad to have you.
Frank's Antiques, that's just down the road from me here in North Royalton.
Oh, yeah.
So I've passed by that, so I've always looked at his store.
Oh, stop in sometime. Tell me you listen to the program.
I will. I've been thinking about God's laws versus man's laws, thinking about Edward Snowden, thinking about HHR mandate.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of talk about immigration, dignity of the immigrant versus immigration laws. So my question then is, when does God's laws trump man's laws? I mean, when do we make that dividing line? Edward thought he was doing this for the betterment of society, sacrificing national secrets. So has it gone too far?
Well, I've got mixed feelings about that, and I have to be careful what I say, because I know, well, I've worked in some areas where you had to have those kind of clearances, and I know what kind of security stuff is in place. It's been a few years when I was in the Air Force. In fact, my sister once sent me a button that said, my job is so secret, even I don't know what I do. But, having an understanding of what he's done, he took an oath and he accepted a clearance, and he willingly broke the law to do something. And I'm not 100% sold that he did it to help Americans. I kind of have a problem when somebody says, I did it to help America, and they go in hiding in China.
Well, there's a lot of Congress people that did not know this program. They should have known it, but they didn't.
Well,
they weren't aware of it.
There's a lot of them that don't want to admit that they knew. Let me put it this way. When I left the Air Force, and that was back in the 80s, I used to tell everybody routinely, and this was before cell phones, this is before the internet, this is before emails and all the stuff we have today. I used to tell people all the time, I would say, listen, if you do anything at all electronically, don't expect it to be private. You know, whether we're listening or somebody else is listening, you know, anything you do electronically, you know, don't expect it to be private. And that's about how I'll put that. And you know, today it's even more so because the sophistication of equipment I can only guess at, knowing what was involved back in the 80s and what they have today and all. There's nothing. You can't talk on your landline at home. You can't talk on a cell phone, and people get all worried about it. But, you know, a lot of the stuff that people are worried about the government looking at, and I'm going to play devil's advocate on the part of the government first, okay? Because I do have some concerns, too, about what the government's doing. So don't just think I'm endorsing everything that the NSA and different groups are doing. But the type of information that we're getting upset about the government listening in on, you ever pay attention to what kind of information people post on their Facebook postings? People post on Twitter? I remember when Facebook and some of these things were becoming popular, and people were saying, well, I'm leaving my house now. I won't be home for the next 2 hours. There's nobody there, and I just realized I left the door wide open. Oh, well. Just telegraph everything to the thief, you know, that's waiting to break in. And so we willingly give up so much information to worry about the government having it. To me, just considering what people willingly post about themselves online. And then how about people who walk through the stores talking on their cell phones, and you can hear intimate conversations. But to think about this, you've got your charge cards. And there's a record of everything you charge. And you go to the grocery store, and you got loyalty cards for your favorite grocery store, your favorite gas station. What do you think happens when you swipe that loyalty card? They're building up a file on you and your shopping habits, and they sell that information. In actuality, I was reading online about a week or so ago, I guess it was, that some of the software that's the basis of the PRISM system that the NSA, the National Security Agency, is using, it actually comes from, guess where? Facebook. They're using some of the very same material that Facebook uses to bring about, you know, relationships between people and degrees of relationship and things like that. And it's amazing. Now, data is a great thing. I read a thing just recently a friend of mine sent me called Finding Paul Revere. And it was a fictitious thing set in the 1770s where an intelligence analyst for the British government was tasked with finding out information about some of the rebels over in the colonies. And so they sat down with just the information of about 7 or 8 groups. You know, they were groups that were patriot groups in the States. That's what we call them because, of course, you know, the revolution was a success. Had it been a failure, they would have been traitorous groups. But as far as the British government was concerned, they identified them as rebel groups. And they had the names of these groups and a membership roster. And through that, they had about 250-some members. And by manipulating the data from just those two bits of information, the membership rosters and the names of the people and the names of the groups, they were able to pull out all kinds of relationships that suggested that if you were going to find ringleaders of a potential rebellion in the colonies in America, you would look for, it narrowed it down to about 4 or 5 people, of which Paul Revere was one of the chief ones. And there's various ways of manipulating that data, which I won't get into right now. But if somebody wants to Google online Finding Paul Revere, you can probably find the article. It's very fascinating to read. But here's the thing. All of these things that we have out there, and there's more stuff out there than what people know about, and it's been around longer than what people know about, and I guarantee most of the people in Congress, if they had any inkling of the intelligence capabilities of our country, probably knew about it, and a lot of people would know about it and say that they didn't. But Here's the thing. When you put those things into the hands of, you know, godly people who want to protect America, they can be tremendous tools. But when you put them in the hands of ungodly people, people, you know, that lack basic morality, you know, people who are greedy for their own selfish ends and own selfish gains, the potential for abuse is staggering. You know, I used to say they had the ability to find the needle in the haystack. The trouble was there's a million needles in a million haystacks. But if they wanted to look, they could. Today, I probably say you could find a trillion needles in a trillion haystacks. And so, you know, the potential is great for danger, for, you know, imposing on people's rights, singling people out, things of that nature. And I recognize that. To me, this whole thing underscores the necessity when you have an election to go into that election booth and vote for the most godly, the most moral people that you can. And unfortunately, and I'm not going to single
people
out Republicans or Democrats here, but unfortunately, in all parties, you get a lot of selfish people. They're not motivated by national pride or patriotic motives or high moral positions. They're motivated by selfish positions, self-centered, trying to amass power and wealth for themselves. And these kind of people cannot be trusted. One of our founding fathers, I think it was possibly John Adams or Samuel Adams, said that our form of government can only work, and I'm not quoting it exactly, can only work with a moral people. And when you don't have a moral people, it falls apart. And I think we're seeing that today at all levels of government, from the local all the way up through the state and federal government.
Or at least an educated, intellectual people that can understand the issues and know how to vote.
Right, right. And that's why it's important, I think, that we get involved. You know, 6 million Christians sat out the last election. And if you're a born-again Christian, you know, we should understand of all people that we have some precious rights. Because as born-again Christians, we have a legacy, and not just the patriotic legacy of America's founding and everything, but we have a spiritual legacy that goes beyond America. It goes back to the time of Christ and beyond, of the spiritual freedoms that we have. The spiritual freedoms we enjoy in America today are without parallel in human history. They really are. I mean, it's just, we take it for granted. But America, in a sense, is an aberration in that you and I can have this conversation on the radio, and I'm confident when I go home, I don't think I'm going to have government forces kick in my door and pull me out in the middle of the night, or that you will either. They could listen in. Yeah, sure, they could listen in, but and that's up to them. And they've been listening in for years, probably. So we need to trust Christ. And you asked another part in your question about where is it that we get to the place where we, where sometimes we have to disobey God's law. And again, getting back to this guy Snowden, I'm not so sure that he's as, if you'll pardon the pun, as pure as the driven snow there in his motives, because China is one of our greatest rivals in some of these computer type things. I saw a thing in a British paper, I think it was, saying, next revelation, we're hacking into China. I thought, well, and your point is, China's been hacking into us. I mean, that's no secret. Anybody that pays attention to the news knows that there's a cyber war going on, or at least cyber warfare going on. We have the cyber command that was set up in the military. But and China certainly is one of the big ones for hacking into government databases and military databases here and in other countries. We need to remember that, we do answer to a higher power. And I know when I was in the Air Force back in the 80s, there were occasions where people who would say, you know, I'm not sure what we're doing is right or moral. That kind of goes back to even in the late 1800s, early 1900s, when people were talking about reading trying to spy on other, you know, people. And one guy famously said, well, gentlemen don't read other gentlemen's mail. Well, sorry, people do read other people's mail and listen in on our phone conversations. But, as far as a Christian goes, Jeremiah was told in Jeremiah 1:8, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And we need to remember that in that portion right there. But we also know in Acts chapter 4, and this is what I wanted to turn to here, Acts chapter 4, Peter and some of the apostles were charged not to speak and preach certain things. And this is what they said. The Bible says, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And you see in history, even in repressive countries, wow, and governments, oftentimes, and I got to watch the clock here. I got a few more callers coming in. Christians have been loyal citizens. They have been patriotic citizens and supportive and everything. They might not have always agreed with their government's positions on everything, but they've tried to serve faithfully. And if I was king and absolute despot of the world or some country, I would do my best to let the Christians do their own thing, because even if I wasn't a Christian myself, as a leader, I would recognize they're generally going to be some of my best citizens. Until you reach the point where you tell them, like they told Paul or Peter and John here, don't go out and preach in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, once you start telling them to go against the Word of God, that's when Christians are called to a higher law. And there are some things that, some areas that Christians perhaps would choose not to serve. And I'll have to kind of sum it up here. I would not get myself a job at a convenience store and then have to sell alcohol, cigarettes, dirty magazines, and lottery tickets. I don't believe in those things. I don't want to get a job where I'm called upon to sell those things. I wouldn't go into that kind of a job knowing that that's what the job entails, and then get all bent out of shape when the boss tells me to sell those things and say, no, I won't sell these things. No, you shouldn't have got the job in the first place. So I think that should be part of it. I'm still waiting to see what's going to happen with this whole NSA thing and some of these other things, because I understand the necessity of collecting intelligence to keep our country safe.
Right.
But at the same time, I understand the tremendous potential in the hands of the wrong people to do great harm.
Like Obama says, to get 100% security and 100% privacy, we're going to have to be inconvenient.
Well, and there's some truth to that, and I'll leave you with this, Ronald, so I can get some other calls here before we run out of time. In the old days of the Soviet Union, crime was down and the trains ran on time. But part of the reason crime was down was the government hated the competition. So we'll let it go at that.
Good night, Pastor Al. Very good answer.
Thanks for your call. Appreciate that. Okay. We've got Andrew coming up next. And Andrew, thank you for waiting. All right, we've got Andrew on live with Pastor Al.
Hello?
Hi, good evening.
Yes. In the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 8.
Yes, sir.
Okay, in verse 14, it says, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who then, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Okay, now, these people in Acts chapter 8, they didn't get the indwelling presence of the Holy Ghost immediately upon salvation.
Correct. This is in a transition here. Acts is a transitional book, and I'm not trying to cut you short, but it's just that we got less than 5 minutes, and I got another caller yet too. But Acts is a transitional period here. That's where we see Cornelius and Peter, because they didn't think that the gospel belonged to them. And then here in Acts chapter 8, the Samaritans, they're part Jew and part Gentile. And they had not yet received the Holy Ghost at this time. But we're through the transition period of the book of Acts. There's a lot of transition from the beginning of the book of Acts till the end.
But Paul himself didn't receive the indwelling presence of the Holy Ghost upon salvation.
Well, again, as I said, we're in a transition period here in the book of Acts, but by the time you get to the book of Romans, which was written later, we have the clear statement that Paul made there that I read earlier, that if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. And, the Holy Spirit of God inspired Paul to write those words. And so I'm going to go with what he said. That's following the transition. And we'll probably have to leave it at that right now, because I don't know that we can get much further here in the time we have left. But
Paul said, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're none of his, but there's two presences of the Holy Spirit. Jesus explicitly defined two presences of the Holy Spirit. He told his disciples before he was crucified. He said, the Holy Spirit is with you,
right,
but shall be in you. So Jesus specifically mm-hmm. defined two presences of the Holy Spirit.
Well, and in Acts, in Romans chapter 8, he talked about the Spirit of God dwelling in you. So he's talking about him dwelling in you. Now, there is another area here related to this, and it caused a lot of confusion among some people, and that's the difference of being filled with the Holy Spirit as opposed to having the Holy Spirit. I've used the illustration. I'm sitting in this building where the studio is, but I'm not filling the building. The building has me in it, but I don't fill the building. I can't go into these locked offices and up in these floors that belong to other companies and things. And if the doors were all open, I could go anywhere. I could fill the building by going anywhere in the building that I wanted to. But God wants to fill us with His Spirit. But He
but
does.
The building has your indwelling
and,
presence.
Yeah, and He seals us until the day of redemption. We're going to have to let it go at that, because I'm going to run out of time here real quick. I got about 2 minutes left. But appreciate your call. Maybe give us a call back next Sunday earlier in the program. We can talk about it. I know you did call a little earlier, but I was kind of talking on the last caller and not watching the time myself, so that's partly my fault. But I appreciate that call. Hope you'll call back next week, and we'll talk about it some more. And real quick, about a little minute and a half or so left, we've got Pamela. And Pamela, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Thank you, Pastor Al.
Thanks for holding.
Well, I was calling because I keep seeing that family and morality are key concepts that are preached about in the Bible. And when I look at today's society, like, I'm not sure where the church really stands on family and morality anymore.
Well, the church ought to stand for, on the moral issues, and certainly on pro-family issues. The first institution that God created really was the family. Adam and Eve, He brought them together, the institution of marriage, and then told them to be fruitful, multiply, in other words, to produce children. So that's the first institution. God's very favorably inclined to the family. The other importance of the family is that the husband and wife relationship pictures Christ in the church. There's some other issues in there with the family and the children representing similar themes. I apologize, I'm rushing because I got about 30 seconds here. But, so family is very important in the Bible. And then morality. The Bible is a moral code book, really. And God gave us morality. And through His Holy Spirit, He'll lead us into a moral walk. Churches ought to stand for morality. Pamela, I appreciate that. We're out of time here tonight. Hope you'll call us back again some other time. God bless, and thank you all for listening. Happy Father's Day to everybody. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us.
That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.